First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, EdSpringsteen.com, and all that good stuff. If you want to hear for anything on the latest, get a replay of this show, pass it along to your friends. You can join our RSS feed at LouisvillePolitics.com. You can pass this along to everybody. In the meantime, to the thousands of you that listen to this show every day, we appreciate the heck out of it. Call-in numbers, as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys that are in the chat in the listening queue already, we appreciate it, but don't forget to hit that number one on your dial pad so that we know you want to be heard on air. And for everybody else, you can log in using Facebook, anything else you want to use, and you can join us in our live chat. Looks like Dale the Truth is running a few minutes late. Don't know why, but I tell you, his traffic commute every day from his normal job, his 9-to-5 job, is a pain. And I guarantee you, I know they had some traffic problems out there earlier. I caught up on out in the Hurstmore Lane area and everything else. So hopefully he will be joining us in just a few minutes. Hey, it looks like he just logged into the chat room, so he's getting ready to Skype in, I guess, if he can, unless Skype is down for him. Not sure. Anyway, he says Scott's not responding. Try it again, Dale. It seems to be working for me tonight. I don't know what's going on, but I guess we'll find out. In the meantime, until Dale joins us, let's give you a couple of things we want to talk about. This is going to be hilarious. One of the first things I want to bring up, just so we can get into some of the national issues with Dale here in a few. Remember the New Jersey student? We've been talking about this girl for the last week, too, whatever it's been. Rachel Canning. Yes, Rachel Canning. A high school senior who decided she wanted to sue her mom and dad for her child support after she decided to voluntarily leave the home at 18 years old and move in with a friend of hers and her rich attorney daddy. Well, you know, we've been pointing out the fact over the last few couple of days that this should be one heck of a problem because, quite frankly, the father of her best friend a well-known attorney in New Jersey, loaded, if you will. Apparently, he probably, in my opinion, didn't like the negative attention that he has been getting from all of this, because it came out that he has been allowing not only the Canning's daughter, Rachel, drink alcohol and everything else. He's been allowing Rachel to throw ragers in his home, renting limousines for his daughter and Rachel from the age of 15 on to get drunk and everything else that they wanted to do. Well, as I pointed out last night on the show, that's probably not the smartest thing he could have ever done, you know, because he just got caught contributing to the delinquency of a minor, assumedly providing the alcohol as well. Once that started going out in the media, it would probably became very beneficial for him to step away from this whole case. Now, I'm not saying that's why Rachel Canning went home. I'm not saying that's not why she went home. But the reality is that all of a sudden, out of the blue, Rachel Canning decided to return home and reunite her parents, and it has nothing to do with money or anything else. The lawsuit hasn't officially been dropped as of earlier today. But the family has, the conflict has been resolved. It's over. They're going to drop it. And here's the thing. You know, this media is portraying her as this honor student and cheerleader at this Catholic high school. You know, and she tried to say she had to leave home because of emotional and psychological mistreatment. Well, Child Protection Services got involved, determined that her allegations of emotional abuse was unfounded. So she certainly had no case for that. And oh, by the way, she was suspended from school in October. And part of what reason she ran away from home, I guess, and decided to leave was because she was suspended from school for truancy. Her parents found out she'd been running around with that. It was no good for her. And because of her suspension for truancy, the parents told her she couldn't see a boyfriend. He was suspended from school as well. Took away her car and phone privilege. And, you know, once she got punished, she decided to cut school again and go run it to her best friend and her daddy, who would provide her with illegal alcohol as a minor. I thought that was interesting. But all of a sudden, it's all worked out now. They're home. You know, all that good stuff. How are you, Dale?
I'm doing good, my friend. Who are we talking about again?
I was just bringing everybody up to date on that Rachel Canning story, the 18-year-old out of New Jersey moved back home today. They've apparently resolved all the differences, and now she wants to come back home. You know,
is
while
that
the mainstream
was suing parents or something?
Yeah, she was suing the parents for the 18-year-old was suing the parents for child support because she decided to leave home in the middle of senior year and move in with her best friend and her rich attorney daddy. And turns out, you know, the media has just been ignoring all this stuff. The rich attorney daddy of her best friend had been feeding Rachel and his daughter alcohol and everything else since they were 15 years old, allowing them to throw ragers in his house, getting a limo and stocking it for him so they could go around driving around getting drunk. So once all that came out in the media, I was wondering how quick this case was going to die. In my opinion, that's exactly why it died. Not to mention, CPS provided their report and said that Rachel Canning's allegations of abuse and everything were false. They were unfounded. And, of course, now everybody is pointing out the fact that she was suspended in October because of being a truant, because she wanted to lay around getting drunk and hanging with her boyfriend, so her dad took her car and phone away. We said she was a spoiled rich kid from the beginning, and that was the whole problem, and it just got proven. But it's amazing the media didn't put most of this stuff out until now. And so anyway, she's supposedly back home. I really hope the best for her and her family, but I tell you, that girl needs some serious help, and her parents need some serious help if they allow that kind of stuff. So who knows, man? Who knows? But I just wanted to bring everybody up to date on that. And we're going to spend a lot of time on National tonight, Dale. Yes, I know you're going to love that because that's your
forte.
Well,
you know, it's been about a week and 6 days since I've done my show. Good thing there hasn't been any news lately, right?
Yeah, no. There's been no news at all.
No
everything
disappearing. No buildings mysteriously falling down in New York City. So it's been kind of slow news week. I guess we can talk about sports.
No. Yeah, exactly. And no news either about a Republican beating a Democrat in, you know, a Tampa area House race yesterday. That's where I really want to start at, because this is actually a precursor to what we might be seeing later this year. But Republican David Jolly defeated Democrat Alex Sink on Tuesday in a House race in Tampa. This is coming out of Fox News. I don't care if you like the source or not. That's the way it is. But David Jolly got 48.5% of the vote. Al Sink got 46.7% of the vote. And interestingly enough, they had a Libertarian candidate in there, and that Libertarian candidate got 4.8% of the vote. So here's the thing for me. This race was to replace Representative Bill Young. But in this case, you had Barack Obama and Bill Clinton campaign for Alex Sink, and Alex Sink outspent her Republican challenger 4-1, and the Republican won. Does that send a message?
I mean, I think it does. I know a lot of the Republican Party establishment will think that it means they can run whatever, whoever, wherever, and win, but it shows that people are even more sick of the Democrat Party than they are the Republican Party, and this was a seat with an incumbent Democrat, correct?
Well, no. This was the late Representative Bill Young. Their current representative died, so they had to have this election for this bit.
Okay, so it's an open seat. So it kind of gives precedent to, like, I've been telling people, people are so worried about, you hear the neocons, all they do is kiss Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr.'s ass. Well, we got to keep them, because what will we do if we don't have them? Well, we'll have a race with an open seat again. We would have Matt Bevin versus Allison Lonnie Grimes, and we have an open seat, and I think that a Republican would win here because we're a fairly conservative state, Kentucky. So, yeah, I think it sends a message for November because people, I guess, are a little bit more sick of the Democrat Party than they are the Republican Party.
Well, I think it's a good precursor only for the fact that the President Barack Obama and former President Bill Clinton themselves interjected themselves into this race and campaigned on behalf of Sink and made sure that she had, you know, plenty of money. She outspent David Jolly by 4-1. That's why I think it says something about the direction we may be heading in November. I know this is an early race. It's out of the norm.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, Bill Clinton, and who else do we know was a female candidate that he came in and campaigned for recently, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, but it's very interesting because two of the current sitting president and the former president, who everybody is in love with, you know, goes out and does this and makes sure they channel all this money to him. I don't know how much money she spent. I didn't get that far today. But we know that Hillary Clinton got $680,000 in illegal money, and Bill was involved in this one, so maybe he helped her get some illegal money. I don't know. But to outspend your opponent 4-1, in an open seat and still lose, that says a lot. And I tell you what, if the precursor is correct, the Republicans may be having some good luck in November. The interesting thing here was that the Libertarian, Lucas Overby, had got 4.8%. So I just thought that was an interesting turnout, too, because you got 5% for the Libertarian candidate, who you know didn't have any money to spend, didn't have any TV recognition or anything else, and still able to pull right at 5% in an open race. So
well,
I thought that was pretty
interesting.
What percentage
did the Republican beat the
Democrat by? Huh?
I haven't been following this race as closely. What percent did the Republican beat the Democrat by?
It was almost 2%, 1.8%. It was 48.5%
for
Valley
2. So the question is, will the Democrat Party bitch and whine and moan like the Republican Party did when Ken Mollman was a Libertarian and took 4-5%?
Well, you know,
Democrats
not.
Cry
well,
out and say that the vote was stolen and they hadn't been a Libertarian candidate, they would have voted Democrat, which we know is preposterous for them to assume that they own the vote. This is why, you know, the Republican and the Democrats, they think they own the vote. So I just wonder if that's what's going to happen now. The Democrats will come out and bitch and moan and whine and say the Libertarian candidate stole their votes.
Well, let's look at it this way, because Libertarians typically would be conservative. So the Democrats aren't going to come out with that argument because the Democrat lost. And they know they weren't going to get the Libertarian vote. If Jolly would have lost, yeah.
Conservative nor liberal. Libertarians are straight down the middle.
Well, typically, Libertarians are going to vote conservative over liberal. That's just the way it is. They believe in smaller government, less taxes.
But
you know,
they don't care about their bedroom. They don't care what
an ideological
something we're in the bedroom, like the Republicans do.
I'm just saying, from an ideological perspective, typically you would think that. But, I mean, it really doesn't matter at this point because I know the Democrats won't do that. Well, what I was saying was that if Jolly the Republican had lost, yeah, they would have pulled the same thing. I have no doubt about that. I agree with you there. I tell you something that was really interesting to me here, though. Sink, the Democrat who lost, they were showing the campaign headquarters or stuff last night. But the Democrat who lost, Alex Sink, started her concession speech, you know, of course, thanking the campaign team and all these volunteers. But her ballroom was less than half full. The ballroom they had put out for this event, for this turnout, apparently they didn't have hardly anybody there. So, you know, even they knew it was up to grabs. I just thought it was pretty interesting. And I tell you another story that I want to bring up real quick, and I think this is very, very disturbing. This just came out right before the show. But the House of Representatives passed what's called the Enforce the Law Act. Are you familiar with that?
A little bit. Go ahead and inform the audience.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, essentially, the Enforce the Law Act basically says that the president is going to have to enforce all U.S. laws, you know, uphold the Constitution they took an oath to do. The reason this was brought out is it's House Resolution 4138. It was sponsored by Representative Trey Gowdy. But basically, what was brought out is going to authorize the House or the Senate to sue the executive branch for not enforcing laws and providing an expedited process through the federal district courts. This is basically something, as we all know, Barack Obama is basically being called the imperial president or the dictator in chief or whatever you want to call him. He's been trying to do so many things by executive order and everything else to bypass the Congress, the elected Congress. So this was basically the House pushing back and saying, hey, we're not going to allow this. You're supposed to uphold the U.S. law. Well, as could be expected, Harry Reid in the Senate will not allow this bill to go forward in the Senate. From what rumor has it, because Barack Obama told him this bill will not go forward in the Senate. You will stop this bill. that seems to be the ongoing theme. And since we're talking about the Florida election between the Republican Jolly and the Democrat Sink, you know, here we have the same clear distinction on a grander level. You've got a Republican-led House who is trying to hold the president accountable. And this doesn't apply to Obama, folks. This is for any sitting president beyond Barack Obama. And you've got the Democratic obstructionists and your Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi saying, oh, no, we're not going to allow that. Let the president do whatever he wants. Does this backfire?
I think it will if the Republicans make enough noise about it, if they have the balls to stand up to it. But like you just said, it's whatever presence in power is going to benefit from. It reminds me of much younger time when the line item veto was a big deal, and Republicans were loving the idea of a line item veto. But when Bill Clinton got elected president, they were so glad they didn't have it. So I don't know if it's going to get any traction or not. Again, if the Republicans have the balls to stand up to it and say, hey, you got to enforce the law and you got to go through Congress, but what happens if November does come and when the Republicans do sweep through and take over the Senate? Are you then going to have the president just saying he's going to work around the Congress and do what he wants even more? And is the Republican Congress going to stand up to him? Because the last time the Republicans held the House and the Senate, nothing conservative got done.
Well, you know, that's pretty interesting. I'm not disagreeing with you there either. That is an interesting situation because we look at this. We look at this and everything else, and there's a simple reason why it's being done now. I mean, we both know that both sides are going to push it as far as they can to get their way when they have some power. Yeah. But, you know, the real obstructionists right now seem to be the Senate Democrats, and, you know, the Republicans are getting blamed for it, but Harry Reid has refused on at every step of every way to allow any Republican input on anything that comes before the Senate. And if you look at this, when you look at H.R. 4138, I mean, we definitely got to have something like this. You've got the Obama administration, if you think about it, let's take all of the Constitution completely out of the way as far as we don't want to talk about Fast and Furious and Benghazi, at least not this second. But let's look at everything he has done. I mean, he's altered Obamacare at least 20 times. After the law was passed, signed into law by him, as it was, the Supreme Court upheld Obamacare, and he has went through and altered it 20 times without having the authority to do it. It's nuts that this is continuing to go on, and that's just one example. Then let's look at the IRS and the way that they've been able to go out and target people because the president says it's okay. You know, you want to get into all of the scandals, Fast and Furious, Benghazi, everything else? Sure, bring it on. It's fair game, you know. But when we look at it, when we look at an administration who thinks they can, when we look at an administration who thinks that they can dictate a law with the stroke of a pen, you're clearly violating, you know, the Constitution of the United States. So I think it is very necessary now to have this, to enforce this law, to have the Enforce the Law Act. So why is it so hard for Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and their ilk to agree?
Well, they're all power hungry. I mean, this is this is their thing. Again, we talk about all they want to do is take power. I heard you and Mr. Martin talk a lot about opium, other people's money, and they take our money. They do what they want. It's not a government of the people, by the people. And again, who is going to stand up to it? This is the kind of stuff that should be an issue come November, but it'll be dumb little things like gay marriage versus no gay marriage, and, well, your candidate had this scandal, your candidate had that scandal. These are important issues. But again, we have a Republican in the Senate like Mitch McConnell. He's not saying anything about this. He lied and told us how he was going to stand up to Obamacare. He failed. He lied and said his major objective was defeating Obama. He failed. And now, instead of bringing up this issue, he makes up BS about Matt Bevin at MIT. So this is your quote-unquote leadership on both sides. He's no better than Harry Reid.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. I totally agree with you to a large degree. And
so
when I look at this,
stand
too,
up and hold them responsible. Who's going to hold Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi responsible is my question.
I agree with you. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. You know, Trey Gowdy went on, and he put a quote out when he was on Senate floor talking about this, and he said, these last few years we've seen an unacceptable abuse of power, having a president whose priority is expanding his own power.
Yep.
Any idea who said that?
Probably somebody on the Democrat House side or Senate side.
It was actually a quote by then-Senator Barack Obama.
Yep.
That was a quote he was using against George
Bush.
I don't think
Barack Obama would like President Obama much, because candidate Barack Obama was promising everybody the world, and everybody went orgasmic over him. He was their black president. He was their dear Kenyan ruler, and they couldn't wait for the first minority president. And again, look what they got. I don't think candidate Obama would agree much with President Obama. I think it would be a good debate between the two.
Well, I totally agree, but I don't think it'd be a good debate. I think President Obama would lose his butt.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. And our good friend Cy in the chat room, he's pointing out that Obama is basically what's called a decider. This is a decidership. And he uses a quote from Margaret Thatcher. The problem with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money. And that's very true. That's very true. So, I thought those were two things we really needed to start with tonight, because I just having a real problem with all of that. Of course, we've got some other problems, too. I mean, since I mentioned Obamacare, let's talk about Obamacare and unions. But you know what? Let's save that conversation for when we get back from break. Take a quick, folks. Remember, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 are the numbers. And for you guys that are in the listening queue, just remember to hit the number one on your dial pad. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ed Spreenstra Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Good. I tell you, I found another interesting story today that I kind of want to hammer home, because You know, the unions spent a ton of money trying to help Obama get Obamacare passed.
Yep.
It's all on a step to get a universal health care. The reason that a lot of these 20-plus changes have happened with Obamacare is because Obama is unilaterally deciding who to help and benefit, part of which is the labor that helps make sure these Democrats stay in office. The problem is, apparently, the unions are now saying Obama is heading in the wrong direction with his health care law. Unite Here, a labor union that serves the hospitality industry, said that thanks to Obamacare, their members are going to lose about $5 an hour in wages.
Oh.
It's going to cost their members up to $5 an hour in lost wages. And it's interesting because they've got a quote that says, only in Washington could asking the bottom of the middle class to finance health care for the poorest families be seen as reducing inequality. That's from the report from Unite Here, and that story was put out by Washington Examiner. So here we go. This is already one more thing that we're proving here. Harry Reid has already said that all the horror stories are lies when it comes to Obamacare. Now the unions are going out and saying, hey, guess what? You know, it's going to cost our employees up to $5 an hour. You know, what gives?
Getting out there a little bit on the end. What was the question?
I apologize. You've got unions for the right. By the way, folks, I'm being told that we are cutting out for some reason tonight. We have not had this problem since they upgraded the system. And all I can tell you is it's a BTR or Skype issue based on problems Dale was having with Skype trying to get in tonight, so we have that corrected. But anyway, what I was saying was, what does this say when the labor unions are saying, now you're going to cut into our pockets, and you know what it's doing for the middle class?
Well, you know, labor unions, what are they going to do in return? I guess that's going to be my theme for tonight, who's going to hold them responsible, because if you want a good laugh, I guess you could suggest that the labor unions are going to start backing Republicans. You know, that's not going to happen. So I'm sure the Obama administration, they're so determined, like you said, hogtied to get this single-payer system, but they probably don't give a damn. We know Obama doesn't. He's not going to run for office again unless they put him in as UN Secretary General. That's just probably his next goal, but we know he's not going to run again. And do you really think that the unions are going to hold this over Hillary's head if she's the nominee? So no one's going to do anything about it. They can bitch and moan about it, but I think it's kind of funny to watch the Democrat Party union fight with each other, because I said this 20 years ago, I guess now it'd be about 22 years ago, the unions had a good chance to endorse a Republican back a couple of decades ago who was very pro-labor, against international deals like NAFTA and GATT, and the guy's name was Pat Buchanan, and they never ever gave him a chance in hell to get any endorsements, so they're just all talk.
Well, that's typical of the Democrats and the labor mentality. I mean, it's the same thing we established here in Louisville. Yeah. We've got this Democratic control that's been lying to the residents of the West End, for example, and you know, and telling them they're going to do all these things for decades and decades, yet they still keep electing them. You know, yeah. So, I mean, we know these problems exist. Townhall.com news editor Katie Pavlich was actually on Varney & Company this morning and talking about Obamacare, and basically said that Obamacare is not going to basically be repealed until President Obama is out of office, and that she believes that this will be an anchor around the necks of Democrats in the midterm election. But what I like that she said here is, this next part is what I like, because it's very true. They act like they're the people of the middle class, she said when she was speaking to the Democrats, but when the very law they're defending is terrible for the middle class. And that has always been the rub. It's one of the reasons that I quit being a Democrat. They don't care about labor or the middle class. The unions don't care about labor or the middle class. The guys on the floor, your hourly workers, your day-to-day guys, you know, they care. But it's the leadership to keep selling out, because the guys that are being elected to leadership in the unions are the same guys who don't want to lose that position, so they got to go back on the factory floor. So
and
they
Ed, I have to ask you.
Themselves. Yeah.
And Ed, I have to ask you, it's like deja vu all over again, as I've said in the past. Number one, I agree with what you're saying about the unions and their leadership 100%, but just as we can blame the American people for keeping electing idiots, can't we blame the union rank and file for keeping electing idiots in their union leadership?
Well, you know, the union rank and file is representative of the American people. And what I mean by that is real simple. you've got a 20 to 25% voter turnout. That's what you're going to get. And I know you disagree with that, especially in national elections. But for me, the union votes and things like that are simple votes. It's that simple. Whoever gets the majority is going to win. And that's the problem. People don't get involved. I've been in unions most of my life. And I tell you, it's always been the same. I've been with the Teamsters. I've been with the UAW. I've been with the UFCW. And it's always been the same. It's always been the same. You've got a group of guys who take care of another group of guys, and the group of guys they take care of are the only ones that go vote. The majority say,
well, I agree with you. Like I said, when I was in my college days, I also, high school and college days, was in UFCW and the Teamsters. And my question would be, what do they have to offer the little guy who's just carrying his lunchbox in there? He's just working every day. He's not involved in Democrat Party politics like the union leadership is. He's not worried about what the mob and what James, Hoffa and them are doing. What about the guy who just goes to work and he's just paying his union dues to do a job? What can they offer him? What are they going to do for that guy if he elects them over the next guy?
Well, that's exactly it. So, it's incredible to me, but hopefully this is a sign of things to come, because maybe the unions are going to finally open up their minds and start realizing they've been played for a fool. I mean, that's just it.
I would tell them, don't even go to the Republican side. I'm definitely not going to tell them the Republicans are without sin and they have the right to cast the first stone. But hell, here's a radical ideal. If these union people are so anti-Republican, but now they see, like you just said, the Democrats aren't for the working guy and the little people, maybe they should take up some third parties. Maybe they should go and look at some independents and some libertarians. That'd be a nice change.
Very much. I mean, either or. I mean, for me, opening your mind to alternative candidates, and I've got to be completely honest here. I ran for the House state seat right here, and I think it was 2010. I can't remember. But I ran for state house here. I actually got endorsed running as a Republican candidate by the Teamster 783 right here in Louisville. And that was a major accomplishment. I was very proud to have the endorsement because these guys are really looking. These guys are really looking for true candidates. So, you can get some success in some ways, but it's this national level that continues hurting us. And that's what we've really got to start focusing on and paying attention to. And, sometimes that's the only way to get through. I mean, if they're going to blame Obamacare for taking $5 an hour out of wages of their members, then maybe they need to reflect on why they were supporting Obama and others like him. Hopefully they're doing that now. Kind of moving on, you know Cheryl Atkinson, correct?
Yep. I know who she is. Well,
for those who don't know, Cheryl Atkinson was a reporter for CBS. Cheryl Atkinson kept all the heat on when it came to the Benghazi and Fast and Furious and everything else. As a matter of fact, she won a CBS Evening News and an Edward R. Murrow Award in 2012 because of her coverage on Fast and Furious. She also was the only one keeping the whole Benghazi thing alive back in September 2012. On Monday, abruptly announced her departure via Twitter. She put out a Twitter feed that said, "I have resigned from UPS. I have resigned from CBS." That is fascinating. The whole Fast and Furious scandal came about because of Atkinson's reporting on the smuggling thing. It also involved grenades that was used to murder three officers in Mexico. In June of 2013, she had went public because her computer had been hacked prior to this report coming out. A cybersecurity firm was actually hired by CBS News and through forensic analysis determined that Atkinson's computer was hacked into by an unknown party on multiple occasions. So she left because she said she was tired of all the news being censored. This is the second person we've had in media in a week that has done that. Remember, anchor with RT,
yeah.
Russia Today here in the U.S., resigned because she was sick of all the favoritism given play to Vladimir Putin and not reporting the truth. It's crazy. So we've really got to look at this, and maybe finally there are some people with ethics in mainstream media because it was really surprising.
I think she got, she got too close to the truth on a lot of stuff there, and it's a lot of intolerance on the part of the quote-unquote left. I mean, these gangsters, again, if you don't march to the party line, you're out. You got a bunch of Stalinists running these newsrooms. I mean, hell, why do you think there wasn't more of an uproar when the big government people said they want to have somebody in the newsrooms? What's the much difference there between what they're doing already? So if you look at what she's done over the last 5 years, a lot of her work is focused on the failure to perceive failures of the Obama administration. So it's basically cognitive dissonance at CBS.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that to come. I mean, even CNN finally got tired of Penis Morgan and fired him. So, you know, we've got a lot. And Penis Morgan actually is a trademark name by Dale the Truth Gillespie. That was his.
I said trademark. I mean, I started calling him that.
Well, I don't want to take credit for it.
CNN saw the ratings falling, so they cut their Penis Morgan.
There you go. But, yeah, so, you know, so, I mean, it gives me somewhat hope and faith that maybe mainstream is finally going to get it together. You're not going to see it on a local level. You're not going to see the Courier-Journal doing their job right, or most of the newsrooms here in Louisville. Most of this media is owned by the Democrats here in this town. But finally, at least on a national level, with CBS, RT, CNN, they're finally starting to move a little bit more to the center, which is where they're supposed to be.
Well, you know, it goes back to the quote that I put up on one of my social networks today. I don't name social networks because these guys who are watching your email and tracking you with the government don't need me to give them any more free advertisements. But on social media, yesterday I posted a great quote from one of my heroes, the late, great Hunter S. Thompson from Louisville, Kentucky. And his quote was, "Absolute truth is a very rare and dangerous commodity in the context of journalism."
Oh, I agree. As a matter of fact, I shared that yesterday. I totally agree. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this works, to see if this is a sign of better things to come as we move forward, especially in this election cycle. We're going to be able to tell real quick who is still trying to protect the status quo and enforce their social doctrine on us and who's out there reporting the news. But I find it very interesting. And I tell you, there is never a better story, I think, right now to bring up than this next one. You know, we've got all these gun control activists out there still trying to convince everybody that the guns aren't used in self-defense, and people like Adam Lanza, and, you know, they're the only ones to shoot people in these mass shootings, and it's only because they had a gun to get a hold of. Turns out the mainstream media is ignoring another interesting fact. For the fifth time in 2 weeks, a Detroit homeowner has used lethal force by a gun to protect his home and family. In this case, two men broke into a Detroit home Thursday night in broad daylight. The homeowner grabbed his gun, fired at the suspects, hit one of them. One got away, but the one he hit died on the scene. And what makes that interesting is the police chief in Detroit told everybody weeks ago, "We can't protect you. Buy a gun and protect yourself. We're not gonna mess with you. You had the right to defend yourself. Buy a gun." And apparently, this has opened up the door because you still got the people trying to break into homes, and Detroit guys are saying, "Oh, no, we don't have to worry about this anymore," so they're opening fire. Good for them. But it's the fifth time in 2 weeks, and the mainstream media is ignoring this because for the fifth time in 2 weeks in Detroit, of all places, you have self-defense with weapons, not mass shootings. But they're ignoring this story. Why do you think that is, Dale?
Well, they're bankrupt. I mean, they're bankrupt in Detroit, and you took the words out of my mouth. The police department told the people, at least they were honest with them. They said, "Hey, we're not going to protect." I wish 99% of police departments across the country would be honest and tell their citizens the same thing, because it would be true across the country that the police aren't going to protect you. So they at least admitted it up there, because they don't have the money to even protect them if they wanted to. So, again, it's going to be like the Wild West, if you will, in Detroit. When I say Wild West, it doesn't mean like when the anti-gun grabbers, the communist people who don't like the guns, talking about how we would have been the Wild West. You remember that ad? They said that when we passed concealed carry, there would be blood in the streets, which was complete BS. But it's going to be like the Wild West in that you protect yourselves. You take care of your own self. You don't ask what the government can do for you. You ask what you can do for you. Not you for the damn government, but what you can do for you.
I agree with you. And speaking of government, I got to point this out. I was just sent a message that the sound quality has greatly improved in the last few minutes. And I'll be honest with you guys. When we go to break, I go into the queue with Dale. And just catch up for a minute during the break. And it's interesting because I was telling him about the sound problems. So we decided we would tell whoever was listening on the other end, you know, the NSA or whoever it is, to quit doing this crap. We know it's you. And all of a sudden our sound got better.
Sound got better. It's a true story. Yeah. I mean, we send them Paul Hollinger's way. We send them over to your house, Paul. They'll be over there about 8:05 tonight.
There you go. There you go. So I just thought that was interesting. And, you know, what the heck. So I wanted to point that out. But you know, it is fascinating because the only people that are getting this story actually are the local news in Detroit. This isn't going national for some reason.
Oh, no.
You know, and it should be. So go to gunsandfreedom.com, folks. I really, really tell you to do that. They have so many stories like this of self-defense with weapons that it blows your mind. And when you look at the statistics on how many guns are actually used in self-defense versus the mass shootings and all the other crap, you just can't understand the logic of the liberal left's agenda here, or the anti-gun
agenda. And I said it for a long time. Why don't the people? It's just like the ones who want us to pay more taxes, but yet you find out people like Al Gore and Bill Clinton and Obama don't make a lot of charitable contributions. Again, we said at the top of the show, I think, like you said, a good friend Cy in the chat room said, what happens when you run out of other people's money, the Margaret Thatcher quote. And these people don't want to spend their own money, and they don't want to defend themselves. So I think In the same realm of when we see years ago when they set up that you can pay more taxes if you want, and no one ever did it because they were just full of hot air, I think in the same vein, people who don't like guns, instead of a gun buyback program, I think we should pay people who are anti-gun. You know, the government can create the signs, and we'll pay the anti-gun people to put a sign in each of their front yards that says, no guns here, we won't protect ourselves. Let's see if they go for that.
Oh, yeah. Well, remember, we actually advocated that because they had the media. If you remember, I can't remember where up north it was, but they had put out a whole list of all the gun owners throughout the state, which I thought was
incredible.
I mean,
they'd save a lot of money because either they would shut up and put up and shut up, if you will, or the criminals will wipe them out of everything they have in a few minutes, and the police won't have to worry about defending those houses. It'll just basically say, here we are, come take our ass, come steal our stuff, come beat our wife, rape our dog, do whatever you want.
Oh, exactly. So I just thought that was a pretty interesting story. Let's go to the phones. 805 number, you're on.
Oh, and the answer was New York is where they published the list.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I couldn't remember exactly where it was. And then when the journalists or when people with cameras started going to these journalists' homes and asking them to put a sign up, what did they have? They had armed security at their houses to protect them, you know, or they would order people off their property. They didn't want to be identified on camera. The same journalists who were going out taking the same pictures and identifying everybody else. So I thought that was very laughable.
Well, here, take the flip side of what Dell was saying. How about if I am a concerned citizen and I do purchase a firearm to protect myself and my family, I pay less city taxes to, you know, help pay for police or something.
Oh,
yeah,
that's like, no, you're 100% right, Mayo. That's like Social Security. If I could opt out today, Social Security is a Ponzi system. You hear a lot of these big leftists talk about, oh, you don't want your money in the stock market. The hell I don't. The stock market's done a lot better than the Ponzi scheme than Social Security. So, yes, just as I don't want to be in Social Security, I should be able to opt out. If I don't want their quote-unquote protection, I should be able to opt out, definitely.
Well, that's a problem.
You get a mutual fund. They average 9% a year over, you know, average of 20 years, so.
Yeah, you're not going to get
speaking
off
of money.
Sure.
Just kind of, you're all talking about the bankruptcy and everything, and I think it's funny how they'll, you know, talk about your favorite subject, the libtards. I can't remember which Cook, or what do you pronounce it, Cook or Koch brother. He donated $100 million to this hospital in New York, and they were building a wing, and it had whatever Cook, you know, ambulatory care center or something on it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep,
the
yep,
NAACP
yep.
and the New York Nurses Union are protesting this. So I'm going,
of course they are.
Okay, somebody who does have some money decides to do something,
philanthropy?
Dang it. Well, thank you. I was going, begins with a P, it sounds like an F. something philanthropic, and donate that amount of money, and because he's a capitalist, he has accrued that amount of money, and, you know, to give back to, you know, whatever, and now people are protesting it. And I'm
so
going,
what's their ground for
why?
Protesting?
They're protesting somebody doing a charitable act, you know, what?
Well, they're protesting.
What's
their
point of
is?
Protesting? Because he's making them look bad because they can't afford to do it?
Well, the point of protest is simple. It's again, it's a libtard mentality. You got the Koch brothers out there, you know, doing something good with their money, but they don't like the Koch brothers' agenda. So forget the fact that all these people are going to be getting medical help that they need, especially in the days of Obamacare. You know, no, we don't like their agenda. No, because of their name, we can't accept their good money to help us take care of our people. So what's the alternative? I mean, what the news media ought to be reporting is these people are out there protesting to advocate killing people who need medical care, because that's exactly what they're doing, isn't it?
Or to tie into what you said last night on the show, you know, how many conservative people have been busted for the different things you and Ed Martin was talking about, bribery and, you know, Hillary Clinton, the $608,000 that was illegal and, you know, things of that nature. You know, the Democrats are already talking about, you know, conservatives' agenda and this and that, but how come there's never been any real big news stories about this, you know, or any of those things?
Well, that's a good question. That's a good question. I wish I had a good answer for you, but I don't. That's a good question. We don't always know what the deal is. The only thing we know for sure is this. It's all agenda-driven, and it's all to bring us to some sort of a socialistic, communistic state, and that even if you disagree with these guys, you know, and you're willing to do something, make it better, like the Koch brothers. I don't always agree with these guys. All right, I believe it's called the Koch brothers. I always call them the Koch brothers. I don't agree with these guys and everything. I certainly don't agree with them. But they're giving you $100 million that's going to benefit lots. And because these people have such an idealistic nonsense that they would prefer communism and socialism, they're not willing to take the help that's right before them. To my knowledge, the Koch brothers never said one thing about, hey, you guys get on your knees and praise me like you do Allah. They said, here's $100 million. Help these people that need it. How pathetic is that?
Well, they don't want you doing it with your own money. They don't want people who willingly spend their money they want the way that you want to spend it. It's all about control. It's their job to do central planning. They'll take all the money to D.C., to Frankfurt, to Metro Hall in Louisville. It doesn't matter. They're going to take the money, and they'll let you know how much you can have left. If you can't get by on your little pittance after you pay all your taxes, well, we'll see if there's another social program for you. It's all about control.
Well, that's exactly it, and that is the bottom line. It's all about control. Nobody cares at that level about any other human being. All they care about is their own personal glory, their own personal ego, their own personal power, and their own control. They want to control you.
Yep.
It's not the situation that they want to fix. They want to own and control you, and that's the problem. And speaking of owning and controlling, I want to get into this story too, Dale, because we've only got about, I don't know, 6 or 7 minutes left, and you're going to love to talk on this because you always do with this guy.
Uh-oh.
Washington Post reported late last week, former NSA contractor Edward Snowden, he had done a video. There was a video on YouTube you can find. For an hour-long interview that he did in testimony to the European Parliament. It was released Friday morning. But Snowden had tried on at least 10 different occasions to talk to his superiors about what he found before he ever went public. And his superiors just told him, hey, leave it alone, don't worry about it, and never did anything. He raised all of these concerns internally, tried to do things the right way, and he was told not to because, you know, you're going to pay a price for it if you do. Mm-hmm. Stay away from it. Dale,
well,
what
I
else
agree.
Can we
go ahead. No, the guy, I mean, Snowden gave up so much that people don't even realize. This is a guy who had a wife. I don't know if he had a family or not, but he had a girlfriend or fiancé, wife, whatever. He had his own beautiful girl there. He was in Hawaii. He was making large six figures to work for NSA. And he basically threw all that away to defend liberty. I mean, so people really need to respect him, especially when you hear Republicans and Democrats blasting him. I've heard people like Addison Mitchell, Jerome McConnell Jr. blasting Snowden. Now, the flip side is we hear people on the liberty side of the Republican Party, like Rand Paul, like Thomas Massie and Matt Bevin, tell the truth about the guy. And Ron Paul said he's a hero and he should be given a a Nobel Prize. And I agree. I mean, it would have been nice if Snowden could have stayed a little longer and got all the information he could on Barry Satoru, a.k.a. Barack Obama, but then again, he probably wouldn't be alive right now.
Oh, well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the only reason he's alive right now is because he's not in the U.S. I mean, let's face facts here.
Well, I tell you what's kept him alive right now, Ed, is the fact that he was nominated for a Nobel Prize. And I'm serious about that because now he's getting more attention from the crowd out there who might pay attention to Nobel Prizes that didn't pay attention to privacy and security. So I think just being nominated, you always hear about these leftists talking about it's an honor to be nominated. It might save his life being nominated.
Well, that might be true, too. I mean, look what it's done for Barack Obama. And that's an interesting thing, because in an August news conference, Obama said and quoted that there were other avenues available to somebody like Snowden who felt that their conscience was stirred and thought they needed to question government actions. And he started pointing to his own presidential policy, Directive 19, which had set up a system for questioning classified government actions. Of course, it was going through the director of the National Intelligence, and who runs that? Well, as you know. But Snowden clearly just said, hey, look, I tried every avenue that was available to me, and I was stonewalled. His people were telling him, don't rock the boat, stay away from it, let it be somebody else's problem. You don't want anything to do about this. And he went as far up in the chain of command as he could within the company himself that he worked for. So, you know, and this wasn't the first time that Edward Snowden had brought up issues about what he thought were unlawful government programs. He'd done it before, and it was always ignored.
Well, if he had informed his superiors in regards to things like NSA data tapping, mm-hmm. Remember, a lot of people talk about what did he know and did he report stuff out. So I get a little suspicious about did he report a lot of stuff to the officials before the leaks, because I'm surprised they wouldn't have offed him or suicided him, because, again, if he reported this stuff to them in regards to NSA data tapping abuse on a nationwide scale, wouldn't he automatically immediately become suspect? Wouldn't he automatically been having his exit interview and being reminded of the penalties for violating non-disclosure? So I'm a little suspect of it, because I don't know why they would have let him live long enough to get some famous ability to become getting some fame. I don't know why they would allow him to get how far he has if it's all true. So I'm a little suspicious about it. I don't know what to think there.
Well, I'm not sure either, but I tell you, it's interesting because you got all these people calling for his head. You know, National Security Advisor, of course, Susan Rice, Obama, as you pointed out, Mitch McConnell has even said there was something wrong with this. Every liberal has went on record saying he should be tried as a criminal for doing nothing more than what would consider whistleblowing if he had been a government employee. One time he was a government employee. He just switched, you know, when he retired, quit being a government employee, he just went and worked in the private sector doing the same thing he was doing when he was employed by the government. So, you know, this isn't like there hasn't been a history of Snowden trying to bring this stuff up. And, you know, it's very interesting to me that they're still calling for his head, and now we've got all this latest news that's showing us something different here. So it's kind of strange. Mayo, go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's just, I wish I could remember the quote Mark Twain about how, you know, difference between patriot and, you know, patriot after the fact, everybody joins in and, you know, but they don't help at first. But the one I do remember is loyalty to my country, always loyalty to my government when it deserves it.
Yep.
Well, there you go.
What Twain said about patriotism, he said in the beginning of change, a patriot is a scarce man. He's brave and hated and scorned. But when his cause is successful, then all the timid join him, for then it doesn't cost anything to be a patriot.
This is very true. But it does cost. We are fast running out.
Anytime you get to that level of power, whether it's NSA or whether it's Democrat Party cronyism, and Ed, I know you can speak to the way the Democratic Party did things because you were a Democrat at one time, and it reminds me of the days that I was in the Young Republicans over a decade ago. Anytime I would say something about what I knew that was the truth about Mitch McConnell, if I say anything about his China money connections, if I said anything about his big government votes, I was told by the neocons, now, Dale, don't go saying things about McConnell. He's one of ours. And now finally when someone finally has the balls to oppose McConnell, I know a lot of people are ripping Bevin because he took a course at MIT and McConnell uses his money machine to pretend that Bevin said he graduated from MIT, but I was telling people about how bad McConnell was within the Republican Party over a decade ago before they screwed us out at the 2004 conventions, the 2008 conventions, the 2012 conventions. And all they would say was, now, Dale, don't say nothing bad about McConnell. He's our guy.
Well, I tell you, and that's pretty common throughout both parties. You know, it is very common in the Democratic Party as well as the Republican Party, and I was a Democrat for most of my life, to be honest with you, so not very proud of it anymore. I like
Democrats
to use the term.
Ed Marksberry.
Well, I like to use the term a good friend Paul Holliger uses. I'm a recovering Democrat, I guess. But anyway, I tell you what, it never changes, though. This hour flies by. We are at the end of it. Thank you so much for the call, Mayo. We appreciate it. Dale,
thank
final
you.
Thoughts?
Well, final thoughts is, again, people got to stand up to the major parties. And like you just said, they're both corrupt from the top down. And when you have people like Mitch McConnell saying he wants to punch the Tea Party in the nose, then saying he wants to crush the Tea Party everywhere, and then saying that he's going to destroy conservative insurgents attempting to unseat a trio of incumbents in his interview with the New York Times published on Sunday, when he says he doesn't think that the he thinks we're Democrats because we don't agree with the neocons, and when he says that we aren't going to have a single nominee anywhere in the country, he proves he is an establishment hack. He proves that when they said the Conservative Fund, the Madison Project, the Freedom Works, the Tea Party all go against him, along with the Club for Growth, he has no one to stand on. All he's ever had to stand on is his own power. He's never stood for anything he's done for the people. Again, he said his major goal was defeating Obama. He failed miserably. He said his other major goal was defeating Obamacare. He failed miserably. So if you want to crush the constitutional patriots, what does that make you? It makes you a treasonous tyrant. Do you want to stand up on the side of us with liberty, the original Homeland Security, or do you want to side with the big governments, the RNC and the DNC? Be a McConnell puppet, or you can stand with us and say death to his new world order.
For me, I guess it really comes down to, do you want to stay stagnant? Do you want to continue moving backwards, or do you want to try to move forward? I will say this. I'm on record as saying this, and I will continue to say this. In my opinion, Matt Bevin really isn't doing the things necessary to make this a race. I sometimes wonder if his heart is even into it. We have reached out to him. We have thousands and thousands of conservative voters to listen to this show and follow the Louisville Politics website. And it's very disturbing to me because you have someone that identifies as a Tea Partier, who identifies as a conservative, who has all these principles, which is the base of our whole audience, and they choose to ignore it in favor of going to the corporate conglomerate like Clear Channel and using it Mandy Connell, a Clear Channel employee, and run a 60-second ad that they spend thousands of dollars for using their own employee to give him an endorsement. To me, there's something unethical about that. To me, there's something wrong with that. I don't approve of the negative things that McConnell has always done as far as going into the dirt and seeing what will stick. However, when you're a candidate running a campaign and you're trying to run an election and you want to run to win, you don't make these kind of foolish mistakes. And Matt Bevin is a successful businessman, a dedicated father, and I would have a hard time believing that he's not smarter than that. So I'm really not understanding what's going on with the whole situation between him and McConnell and this primary. What I do know is that things aren't being run correctly. So if you want to change, then you have to be the leader of that change. And I'm just not seeing that. But that doesn't surprise me much, because when I'm looking at people running for office today, whether they're new or old, whether they're incumbent or brand new people to the political scene, it seems like both sides, the Republicans and Democrats, are playing the same old tired routine. You do have exceptions. You've got Rand Paul, Tom Massey, Ted Cruz, and a whole host of others that we mention on this show regularly. And that's the situation for us. That's where we're at. So the question is, do we have enough gumption or gahonies, if you will, to continue the trend and start electing new people who have bold ideas, who believe in the Constitution, and work towards that goal, or do we continue trying to pick the lesser of two evils? I'm opting to look forward, not back, so I'm looking at all candidates, including independents, libertarians, and everything else, and I suggest you all do the same. That's it for tonight. Dale, anything special for tomorrow?
Well, we got a couple of issues we're going to talk about, and again, we're going to take aim at Facebook tomorrow night, and we're going to tell some more about, we just talked about Snowden and the NSA, and we're going to talk tomorrow night about how it has now come out, public record, that the NSA disguises itself as Facebook to spread all kinds of malware and infect your computers. That's been fact. It's not conspiracy theory. It's a fact that the NSA poses as Facebook to put all kinds of garbage distributing malware on your computer. That's the first issue we're going to talk about. And we're going to also talk about what I've been talking about a little bit in the past, which is this fake Ukraine versus Russia reality show. And we're going to ask a question. If anybody has the balls to call in, tell me why it has now come out that the same Ukrainian sharpshooter snipers were killing the police officers and they were killing the protesters against the police officers.
Well, it sounds like Dale has one heck of a show lined up for you guys tomorrow night. As far as I'm concerned, that's it for tonight, folks. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night at 7 o'clock for Dale the Truth on the TNT Thursday night show. And let's make sure we listen in on Sunday nights at Liberty Unbridled with our good friend Ken Molman. That's it for me this week. I'll see you guys Monday. Have a great week. We'll talk to you later.